101, Jim Malone with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Coming up, Connor McGay, he will join us in a few minutes. Avs, Dallas Stars tonight on the team, pregame at 7. Do we get a winner, by the way, for who is it?
No, we have not yet.
Okay, go ahead and go through that again.
Between Nikola Jokic and myself, we have an NBA Finals MVP and a World Series MVP. We also share a birthday. I was born 38 years before the Joker. I was way more intimidating to look at than to listen to. Who is it? First correct text on the text line, 970-242-1340. That is A, eligible to win and not in their two-week moratorium. B, is over the age of 21. And C, wants the prize. If you can get all four of those things, the correct answer, you want it, you're over 21, and you're not, and you are eligible, you get a case of beer, courtesy of our friends at High Country Beverage.
All right, so 902.
Not a lot of hoops to jump through there.
No, not at all. And we still have Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia coming up as well.
You just have to know who's more intimidating to see than to hear and shares a birthday with the Joker and is a World Series MVP.
All right, I got a text from Dylan today. Couldn't text yesterday. I want to whine about people that parked the wrong direction at Sam's Club gas pumps. Drives me insane. Murray is not wrong. He has to move on to the next moment. So does the team. Okay, I get you got to move on. You got to move on to the next game, which is game three coming up Friday. But that doesn't mean, though, that you don't take the time to apologize for your inexcusable behavior in game two.
At least
What does that have to do? Move on to the next moment and admit that what you did was wrong.
Yes. At least to do that. You know, you don't have to sit there and wallow Friday night in Minnesota and be like, oh man, I threw stuff on the court and I'm just a ginormous tool and a windbag and this whole thing. And this just, be this myopic Eeyore type of person. But you can take 5 seconds to be like, yeah, you know what? That was wrong. That's not really who I am. I apologize for everyone that I put in danger. Next question.
Yeah, does it kill you? It doesn't detract from your focus for game three by taking 30 seconds, 15 seconds, I don't know, to say you're sorry about what an absolute jerk you were.
And if it does take away from your confidence and your focus to apologize for being a tool, that's worse. That's worse for your mental toughness, I think.
I just think when you behave the way he did, which I get, it's not typical of how he's behaved, and Michael Malone can say that. That's not the guy that I know, and that's fine. He hasn't been that guy. We might think he's a red ass at times and not exactly great with the media and surly, but, and it's, yeah, he hasn't been that guy, but he was that guy in game two. Mm-hmm. And you can talk about the injuries, the calf problem, the poor shooting, how Minnesota physically got after him, beat him up, made it tough to bring the ball up the floor, made it tough for him to get space, made it tough for him to be a factor offensively. But the way he responded is, I don't have an excuse for him there. And then to not take the time, which he had yesterday, I mean, blew the media off after the game.
Yeah.
Didn't talk to him, which probably, in light of what he said yesterday, was probably a good thing.
Best course of action, yeah.
Because he's going to say some really stupid stuff about him right after the game, because he didn't exactly help himself yesterday.
Part of me is fascinated by how much of a train wreck he could have turned this into had he met with the media right after the game.
Absolutely.
And to see the acrobatics of the Denver media to justify. Like, well, I mean, see, what he said was, I mean, he's right. Some of them. Not all of them. But some of them would have been like, well, I mean, you know, it's He was just trying to get the heating pad off of his calf, and he ended up flicking it onto the court. It's two-thirds across the court, but still, it was an accident. And he was really throwing it the other way, and the wind caught it, and this whole thing. Somebody was blocking a shot, and they whacked it into the court.
Was it windy in Ball Arena like it was here? I've been in Ball Arena many times. Mm-hmm. You've been there.
Yeah.
Never noticed that the air conditioner or whatever set at 150 miles an hour to blow up heat compress or a towel all the way under the floor.
When the home team guys behave like idiots, then it's the wind's fault.
Anyway, you got some reaction to Jamal Murray's comments yesterday. We'd love to hear from you on the team line, 970-242-1340. All right, joining us in studio this morning with the Grand Junction Jackalopes, Mike Tolan, who now is the owner of the Grand Junction Jackalopes, also GM Mick Ritter's with us as well, and Chris Nabishu, who's the head coach, the manager, I should say. We just got done talking high school baseball, so it's head coach. It's always goofy. Manager of the Grand Junction Jackalopes, Chris Nabishu with us this morning. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in. And Mike, I know we talked on the phone a while back. It's been a year or so when you're involved in the initial operation of the Grand Junction Jackalopes. But now this baby's yours, Mike. Kind of take us through now being the owner of the Grand Junction Jackalopes.
This is the careful what you wish for moment, Chris, right?
Right.
we start with a road trip, starting in Boise, and then come here June 4th for the home opener. It's Chris's second year at the helm. This is my second day at the helm. I tell stories in the sports world. I live in this world. I'm listening to you talk about Jamal, thinking you're being gentle. I have a son who works for the team named Lucas, and we look at something like this, and we call each other on stuff when you're misbehaving badly, and we always say to each other, stop being a baby.
Yeah,
that's what somebody needs to say to Jamal, because what he's doing, he's giving Minnesota more ammunition, right? They're like, this guy's still lost in this thing. He still can't even get over it, move past it. So they got to be going home thinking, we got him right where we want. Back to baseball. It is baseball season, right?
It is baseball season, yes.
I'm pretty psyched. Look, I've had a lifelong dream of being part of minor league baseball. Mike Vec, son of Bill Vec, was kind of he was a buddy, and he became sort of a mentor, and he always said to me, if you want to get into this racket, you probably want to steer toward indie ball, because if you're in affiliated ball, they're just going to be telling you what to do and what you can't do. And so as people who follow the Grand Junction Rockies know, they were affiliated with the big club in Denver. And a couple years ago, the MLB purged four leagues. And so this became an independent league. And that's when Mike Shapiro, the president of the league, said, here's a shot. And so I talked to Mick, and we had kind of a false start with an affiliation with the big company out of Denver,
right?
Future Legends. And finally, the deck's cleared, and here we are, and I'm super psyched.
Well, you mentioned Mike Vec, and I know, of course, we've talked about your background. You've won four Emmys, The Last Dance on Netflix, the Michael Jordan documentary is incredible. I had a chance to watch the Mike Vec documentary, which I don't remember if you played a role in producing that or not, but fascinating documentary about him, just a very colorful character, as his father Bill was as well. But what are some things you feel like you can learn with from what Mike has done? St. Paul Saints, a lot of success, a lot of tradition there at the minor league level. What you can do in Grand Junction with what they've done there, some things you can kind of pick their brain a little bit, Mike, on what they do and what you can maybe do here with the Jackalopes?
Mike wrote a book, literally wrote a book, and figuratively lives it every day, the title of which is Fun is Good. Simple, right? Sounds elementary, but people forget, man. And minor league baseball, for me, is designed to remind people that fun is good. You may go to the ballpark and spend 2.5-3 hours and have a lot of fun, and as you're coming home, the kid might in the back seat might say, by the way, did we win? Now, Chris's job is to make people care and to put W's up there as often as possible. And sports guys that we are, we're trying to win. We won 2 years ago before. Chris doesn't have a ring. I do.
Oh, I have a ring, but just not from last year.
So we got to get Chris a Grand Junction. But there's two things. There's fun, And Mick is in charge of all the off-field fun, and we're bringing a lot more this year, we promise. And the second is community, which is to say that in a town like Grand Junction, as opposed to New York City or, you know, Los Angeles, we should be a fabric of this community. We should be out there every day of the week. We should make families feel like they can touch and feel these guys. They should be accessible. These are heroes. These are real life, full-blooded heroes. So that's our goal this year, is to really integrate the team with the community.
Joining us in studio this morning, he's the owner of the Grand Junction Jackalopes, Mike Tolan, general manager Mick Ritter, and also Chris Nabishu, the manager of the Grand Junction Jackalopes. And Chris, when we talk about the on-the-field product, it's an MLB partner league. Used to be, of course, a member of the Colorado Rockies short-season rookie league team. And now it feeds all of Major League Baseball with the players that come here. Take us through where you're at right now in terms of, I know you've signed some players, and you have a good number of guys that are probably coming back as well from last season. But where are you right now in terms of roster building for that June start for the Pioneer League season?
Right at the beginning, we have 31 guys that are going to be coming in for the start of our spring training. We will begin evaluating most of those guys. I mean, the world that we live in today, in this league, we have tryouts where we acquire players through tryouts with this league. I also watch a lot of video on players and make determinations through video. I have a pretty good network from, you know, the 30 plus years that I've been in professional baseball. So there are people that I trust and take recommendations from them. So there's a lot of different ways of getting players to fill up the roster. And we're presently full. We're at capacity. We're only going to take 31 guys for our roster. We have to cut down to 25 or 26 for the beginning of the season. And that's the process that we're just getting ready to start. And we'll conclude that process by May 20th.
Who are some names that people maybe saw last year that are back this year with you?
We have Diego Jordan, who was here last year. He was one of our relievers. We have Connor Barton, who was with us last year. We have Frank Rossiapo, who was here last year, but all three of those are pitchers. We have Lavoisier Fisher, who was one of our outfielders that came in late. And we have Ethan Smith, who was here with us last year also. We have two catchers that were here, Austin Chouinard and Austin Shoemaker.
And then I know we spoke with him a while back, Conrad Villafuerte, that played at Colorado Mesa, that Conrad is part of the group this year as well. So if you're a Maverick baseball fan, you're familiar with Conrad.
One other one, too. We also have Matt Turner, who was a...
Matthew Turner, yeah.
Yeah, both of those guys are Mesa guys. And I was out at the RMAC Championships yesterday and plan on going back out there again today. And, you know, I mean, we're looking at all those guys. I mean, there's some guys on the team that are on there right now that are, you know, graduating and our possibilities. So we're always, that's a great, terrific program. Hanks and I are buddies, and I really carry a lot of respect for him and his evaluation on players. And not only do I listen to him about what he has to say about players on his own team, but the players from the league that he likes. And so he's a great source of information.
We got another guy we're going to put on the roster that we're not talking too much about yet, because we're going to get through training camp.
Okay.
But there is a guy who does not quite fit the normal description, which is to say he's got more experience and is older than the rank and file on Pioneer League rosters. But he came to me. I looked at his stats. I talked to a lot of folks. This is a guy who, dare I say, is kind of a real-life Crash Davis.
Okay.
And we got a waiver. He's committed. He loves baseball. He feels like there's unfinished business. We'll get him in here soon. I think you'll like him. Chris has met him, and we're excited. We think he's going to be a real asset in the clubhouse and maybe provide a little pop. So stay tuned for a little extra dimension.
Could we possibly see at some point, Mike, I think you'd mentioned this when you first became involved with the Jackalopes about your connection with players like Jimmy Rollins. Could we ever see a Ricky Henderson-like Jimmy Rollins, former retired player, come in and play with the Grand Junction Jackalopes? Is that Chris is shaking his head no.
I would love it, but I don't think they're not going to give a waiver for a guy like that.
I always get asked that question: is that going to happen?
It could.
Let's never say never, but yeah, I mean,
highly unlikely that you're going to see Jimmy Rollins come out here and play a couple of games with the Jackalopes. Or
I don't think Ricky wants to. Jimmy still wants to get in the Hall of Fame, doesn't want to tarnish his image. Ricky, on the other hand, has always said, you know, I could go out there and steal a base today at age 65 or whatever he is. So there's a pitcher who I've seen in training who had 6 or so years, and he's not as big a name, but he is an ex-MLB guy who's still in shape, and I may show you some video, Chris.
I love it.
All right, well, this morning, Mike Tolan, owner of the Grand Junction Jackalopes, also Chris Nabishu, the manager of the Jackalopes, Mick Ritter as well, the GM. And, Mike, I do want to ask you about the price reduction, 25% reduction in ticket prices, this day and age where everything's going up and up and inflation's on everybody's mind. You guys are trying to do your best to make Jackalopes baseball more affordable for folks here.
Well, Mick and I got together and we thought, how can we send a message that we're reaching out to the community and saying, hey, come on and give Jackalopes baseball a try? And that sort of gets people's attention. Doesn't happen, like you said, too often. But, it's a 25% reduction, and Mick devised a lot of different options so families can either get money back or buy additional tickets or use it for a concession credit. And, look, you're getting a pretty good value. If you 48 games, you're paying less than $10 a game for the best seats in the house. There's a lot of fun going on. There's great new items at the concession stand. There's new fun and games for kids of all ages, and hopefully it's going to be great baseball.
I want to jump, Mick, if you can just grab Chris's mic real quick, wrap it up here. We got Connor McGahee with the Avs coming up in a moment, but I do want to bring you in because Mike was mentioning, you know, promotions, those kind of things fall on your desk. Can you give us a sense of what some of those things might be this summer with Jackalopes baseball?
So we are actually looking to release the promotional schedule today. So that's going to be released to the public. But yes, we are planning pretty much a promotion every single night. There's something different going on. A couple of the big promotions I can tell you are Rodeo Night, Hawaiian Night. We have partners with those. We've got Make a Millionaire. We're going to make a lucky fan a millionaire this year on one of the nights, which is going to be fun. So we're calling it Millionaire Night. But, yeah, we have a lot of promotions Monday through Sunday. Every single day is going to be a different promotion.
And we should mention that you have the meet and greet coming up at Bananas Fun Park. That's coming up on May 19th, 2 to 5 o'clock. And tell us more about this, because it sounds like it's a great deal in terms of bringing out the family, meet the Jackalopes players, and also just have a really great time at Bananas.
Yeah. You said it, May 19th, Sunday, 2 to 5 p.m. The plan is to have all the families come out, see if they can beat a Jackalope player in some putt-putt or race them in go-karts. You know, as baseball players are, that we're always competitive. So I'm sure that they're not going to want to lose very easily to some kids out there. But bring your families. It's a great deal that Bananas is doing for us. And we're going to be out there, and the players are going to be looking to have some fun.
So season tickets are on sale, I would assume, right now, correct?
Yep, season tickets are on sale. Single game tickets are on sale as well.
GJJackalopes.com to get your tickets.
GJJackalopes.com, or you can call our office, 970-255-7625, or you can come down to the office.
So real quick, one more little poll we're going to be reaching out to the Jackalopes fan base. We are the Jakes. We have a mascot named Jake, but there's been some discussion about why aren't we the Jacks or why aren't we the Lopes? So we're going to put it to a vote.
Okay.
We'll do it through social media and the normal channels now, and it'll be like the official name is nickname, because Jackalopes is a mouthful, right? So are we the Jakes, the Jacks, or the Lopes? Leave it up to the fans.
I love that. So when's this going to start, guys?
We're going to do that probably right before the first homestand.
Okay.
About a week before, yep.
So kind of get it down to a shorter name for Grand Junction's baseball team.
Yeah, what is our nickname?
I love that. Hey, guys, thanks for coming in. Mike Tolan, Mick Ritter, and Chris Nabishu with the Grand Junction Jackalopes. We could probably sit here all day and talk baseball, guys. But I do appreciate you coming on this morning, and looking forward to seeing you at the ballpark this summer.
Likewise.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Take care. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, will help us preview Av Stars. That's coming up next.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text the Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line, 970-242-1340. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on the team.
Right now from the Lone Star State. Avs Stars tonight, game two on the Team Sports Network. I'll have the call for you. Connor McGahey. Good morning, Connor. How are you?
Well, howdy there, Jimmy. How are you this fine day?
How you doing, partner? How are things in the great state of Texas today?
They're good. A little less 92 degrees and humid. I was sitting having dinner last night watching the Bruins and Panthers, and we got a good old-fashioned Texas thunderstorm that rolled through and took out all the satellite signals for about 45 minutes.
Great.
the middle third of Bruins Panthers, but then cooled everything down a little bit, and you know, this thing called oxygen that I can actually breathe is kind of nice.
It's fantastic. So, yeah. How about that game last night? Wow, that got a little chippy at time. A little nasty between those two.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the Bruins want David Pastrnak fighting anybody, especially Matthew Tkachuk. But my favorite clip of that was when they're starting to go, and it literally looks like they're practicing ballroom dancing. It's absolutely fantastic. And I'm like, and obviously the GIF is all over the internet now, and it's turning into a top eight for me. It's very funny. They literally have, like, you know, hands outstretched, clasped together, and very funny. Very funny stuff.
Have like a Viennese waltz or whatever, you know, something from Chopin
exactly.
Or something.
Right, 100%.
Dancing around. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. So for the Avalanche, game one win, they fall behind 3-0. They just go out and score 4 unanswered goals. And this is a team that after what, you know, after what they dealt with at times in the Winnipeg series, there's just no panic. They're just in,
no.
And there's no panic in this hockey team.
No, and especially against the Stars in this building, because it's now 3 come from behind victories in all competitions this year. Down 3-0 in November, 1-6-3. Down in the game January 4th, came back to win 5-4 in overtime. So this has just turned into the theme for the Avs, obviously, during the regular season, with 26 come-from-behind victories. 4 of the 5 in the playoffs have been come-from-behind victories. They lead the NHL in that category there. And, you know, you don't want to have to come from behind all the time, but if you're going to have a tool in the toolbox in the Stanley Cup playoffs, that should be the one, because the lack of panic is almost necessary in order to win. And so I just think that the Avalanche, you know, take a lot of solace from that and know that, you know, no matter the score, they can come back and win a hockey game. And that was exemplified in game number one.
And I think that, you know, you talked about the Joe Sakic quote, the famous one, rest is a weapon. Initially in this game, rest looked like maybe a little bit of rust for the Avalanche in the first period. But it was it a case where, because I know you, when you joined us, you were rooting for 7 games, and that's what happened with Dallas and Vegas, that maybe ultimately a little bit of a tired Dallas team that started to play into things, and then the Avalanche just got stronger and stronger as the game went along in game one.
Well, and special teams, too. Power play was 2-for-2, 100%. Avs now have the second best power play in the National Hockey League in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, they took advantage of the lulls there. Now, Dallas pushed back hard at the really the end of the third period, beginning of overtime, and the Avs, mainly thanks to Alexander Georgiev, were able to survive the storm and win the game. But I think when the heavy legs got to Dallas, the Avalanche pounced, and they had to. It'll be a different story tonight, but still, I think that, you know, rest accumulates, and Colorado can use the gas that's been left in the tank from having a week off from playing any competitive hockey.
We're talking with Connor McGahey. He's in Dallas for game two tonight right here on the team. Avs Stars. Avs lead the series 1-0. Miles Wood gets the game winner in overtime in the game one opener. Connor, and for Miles Wood, they had a couple big goals in the Winnipeg series. I mean, of your guys, if you're playing who's going to win the game bingo, I don't know if Miles Wood would have been the guy in overtime that you're probably going to have as your selection on your square or whatever. But Miles gets it done, and it was a pretty goal, the goal they scored in overtime.
Yeah, John Michael Lyle said it best, speed kills, and that is all. And, you know, he's one of the fastest skaters in the National Hockey League, and Cogliano smart enough to play that puck into space and allow Miles Wood to skate into it and take it towards the net. And actually a sneaky good finish on Jake Oettinger, right? I mean, it was backhand forehand in a flash, and that's exactly what Miles Wood was moving down the ice. So, you know, you like to see the guys who are down the lineup contribute when it comes to overtime goals. I mean, I think back to that St. Louis series in 2022 when Josh Manson scores an overtime winner. Obviously, you had Burakovsky and Austin Kadri in that playoff run for OT winners. So it's nice when it's not just the big boys who get it done, because everyone's counting on McKinnon, McCarr, Rantanen, and Valanciunas to put the puck in the net. So anytime it's not one of them, that's nothing but a good thing.
You mentioned Josh Manson, who I think had three blocks in the game one opener. Of course, the one that was big was where they were up 3-0 and is able to deflect a shot where it looked like, you know, a chance that they might be able to score on Georgie, and he kept that game from being 4-0. I thought that was a really pivotal moment, because they were up 4-0. We might not be talking about an Avalanche four consecutive goal comeback in overtime.
Play of the game, Jimmy. Play of the game for Josh Manson. And there are so many side-by-sides, speaking of that St. Louis series, between the block there and the block here. We all remember the Ray Bourque play in 2001 versus the LA Kings. Very similar. That was a bacon-saving save from Josh Manson, because, you know, three is manageable, four is almost unmanageable, even for the Colorado Avalanche. So I said yesterday and the day before that was the play of the game for me leading up to those big Georgiev saves in overtime.
Peter DeBoer, the Stars coach, is going to be speaking here in a little bit. What do you anticipate maybe some of the changes that he tries to make after that game one loss?
It's tough to say, because they didn't necessarily play bad. Again, you go back to the fact, and this is what Winnipeg witnessed, is that you can play your best hockey, but the Avalanche, as smothering as they can be, if they're playing to their top level, there's almost nothing that you can do. But I think that Pete DeBoer, who's just walking out of the locker room right now into the press room, I think he's going to want more stout defensive play out of his team and less space for the Avalanche to work in. But again, if Colorado plays with speed, that forces anybody out of tight defensive structure here. So I just think that you can do whatever you want, but if the Avalanche are at the top of their game to which they want to play, it's hard to slow them down and beat them.
All right, Connor, we'll let you get to work. I know you're wearing a lot of hats on this road trip to Dallas, and so I appreciate the time. Looking forward to the call tonight. Connor will have it for us at 7 o'clock tonight, Avalanche and Dallas Stars, right here on the Team Sports Network. Thanks, Connor. Appreciate the time this morning.
You can call me Captain Kangaroo.
I love that. Will some ping pong balls drop on you, though, after an Avalanche goal? That's...
Yeah, exactly. I'll take it.
Okay,
I'll take
good.
It.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Connor.
See you, Jimmy.
Take care. All right, Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, with us on the program this morning. All right. Text or call 970-242-1340. Do we ever get a winner for, who is it? I believe you're giving me the thumbs up. So
yes, we do.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
He's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Mike, first to the door, correctly identifying Dave Stewart as the man we were looking for. Shares a birthday with Nikola Jokic. More intimidating to look at than to listen to.
Oh, there's no doubt. Dave Stewart,
oh, yeah,
on the mound. You're like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
What are you talking?
This guy scares me. I'm going to throw out your head. I'm like, oh, it's adorable.
Kind of like Mike Tyson.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right.
Why eat his children? Oh, it's hilarious.
Oh, it's so cute. Should do voices for like Disney or something. It'd be great. All right, 9:33. And we'll go ahead and jump into some four down territory this morning.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, start things out with first down.
Apparently, we're not going RMAC tournament starting with second down? Oh, sorry. It's neither here nor there.
Or third?
Or third down?
No, second would be appropriate since it was the actually second game, but the first. Okay. The Knicks and the Pacers renewing an old rivalry in the playoffs. And you had game two of the Eastern Conference semifinals, Pacers and Knicks, that was on TNT. Reggie Miller was there working for TNT. And, well, Madison Square Garden fans greeted Reggie with, the kind of warmth that you expect from New Yorkers, right?
A hearty forget you.
Forget you, Reggie.
Yes.
Only they didn't say forget you.
Yeah. Started with the same letter, though.
Oh. And Knicks star Josh Hart wanted to make sure that Reggie heard the vulgar taunts.
Yep. So he came right over to the table.
He told Reggie, I don't know if you heard, but I think they said bleep you.
I don't know if you can hear them, Reg.
Oh, the thousands of people in the stands screaming bleep you, Reggie?
Yep.
Yeah, I think he probably heard them.
Hey, you know what? The New York Knicks fans are the bigger people for not holding a grudge.
Oh.
All right. I love it. I love sports grudges. You know that. I love this. I think it's great.
All right, second down. Two times this morning we've talked about the WNBA.
Yeah.
By the way, it is her home preseason debut.
Naturally.
For Caitlin Clark tonight. Yeah. So, Gab was on the Bill Simmons podcast. And he's Ethan Strauss, who's a reporter. Ethan Strauss thinks that the WNBA just needs to call the WNBA teams the same exact names as the NBA teams. That they should just be the Pacers. Mm-hmm. The women's Pacers, the women's Knicks. He doesn't think they should be the Fever or the Mercury or the Connecticut Sun or the Wings.
Like, I get the point he's trying to make. It loses a little bit of steam when minutes before that, he says the WNBA needs to do more to differentiate itself from the NBA by going with the same team names.
How does that do that? No, because that's
how
you...
Doesn't make any sense.
That's how you differentiate. He's using an example, like in college, how to be the Lady Gamecocks, though nobody ever... We stopped calling them Lady Whatevers a long time ago.
Right.
They're just the Buffaloes. They're just the Mavericks. They're just
the only time you really do it is if it's you're doing both games and it's the same broadcast. That way people tuning in know which game's going on. That's the only time I ever do it.
I'll reference to the CMU women's basketball team. Mm. That's how I tend to do it. I don't use the phrase Lady Mavericks. It's Taylor Wagner, coach of the Colorado Mesa women's basketball team. And then usually the names will probably let you know.
You'd hope, but you never know with some people in the listener area.
I just assume that most people are going to figure that out. If you're talking about Olivia Reed.
I've learned to not assume the intelligence of people I don't know.
I'm not going to try that hard to educate you, okay, that. You got to figure that out on your own.
Yeah.
But you can't sit here, Ethan Strauss, and preach about creating, having a different identity. Hey, we'll just call them the same as the men's teams. Mm-hmm. It's not college. They're not owned by the same. The guys that own the NBA team don't necessarily always own the WNBA team. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't.
As the writer of the awful announcing piece about this says, I don't really think the Indiana being named the Fever is what's preventing the WNBA from catching on.
No, I don't think so. I think that's stupid.
Yeah.
It's just the ongoing growth of women's sports, particularly women's professional sports.
And you don't need to change the names.
It's dumb. It's a dumb idea.
It's just ridiculous and dumb, as Ron Burgundy once said. Hey, they talked about the Nuggets on Get Up this morning.
Uh-huh.
It's a minute 48, and I think it bears playing.
We got time.
I think this just has to be said. That response, Maury, is one of the weakest things I've ever seen in my 35 years covering sports. What he did was practically unprecedented in NBA history, and to pretend that it was ridiculous that he was even being asked about it 2 days later is pathetic. That's what it is. It's pathetic. And so, look, this has nothing to do with playing a bad game. Great players have had bad games since the beginning of time. That happens. And if you get frustrated and you lose your cool, you get frustrated and lose your cool. And you know what you do afterwards? You say, hey, I was frustrated. I lost my cool. I shouldn't have done that, and I won't do it again. And then everyone moves on. But when you behave that way, when you don't talk about it afterwards, and then the first time anyone has a chance to ask you about it, you react to it in that way, there's nothing else that can be said except that is, it's bordering on pathetic. Candidly, it's words that I can't use on television to respond to it. And I will say this. You know when you find out what people are really made of? You don't find out what they're made of when they're sweeping a team that came in out of the play-in in the Western Conference Finals. You don't find out what they're made of when they're beating in five a team that came out of the play-in in the NBA Finals. You find out what they're made of when they're getting their butts kicked like they are right now. And that's what Jamal Murray is showing us there. Nikola Jokic is an MVP and deservedly so. And you lose sometimes. Sometimes you get outplayed. Sometimes the other team is just better, and that's what it looks like so far. But this had nothing to do with basketball. Jamal Murray completely lost it. And I think everyone should have been willing to say he's never done anything like that before. Mm-hmm. He's got to come out and say, hey, I should not have done that. I realize it now. I feel bad that I did it, and I'm sorry. The unwillingness to say that speaks volumes. The things he didn't say were much louder than the things he did.
Show some contrition.
Mike Greenberg. That's not usually take guy, and I hate that Jamal Murray has put me in a position to agree with Mike Greenberg.
I'm right there with you. Anytime I agree with Mike Greenberg,
it's a bad day.
It's soul crushing, to be quite honest. He's right. I can't argue with a single thing he said there.
No, 100%.
It's damn embarrassing. Embarrassing for.
Mm-hmm.
For the franchise, it should be embarrassing for Murray. Apparently, it's not, and it's embarrassing for the fans. We've talked about this a lot. And
he's right. It's pathetic.
It's extremely pathetic.
And fourth down, Shaquille O'Neal's ex-wife has a memoir out, and not really planning to read it, but she does have an excerpt that's floating around that says she's not sure if she ever loved the man Shaquille O'Neal. She loved the idea of building a family with Shaq. And Shaq responded because he admitted that he was not great in that marriage. He both had affairs and he did his fair share of cheating. And he put on Instagram, it's like, I get it. I wouldn't have loved me either.
Well, see, there's owning up to something.
Yeah.
Owning up to his part of the problem.
Without having to rehash the whole thing, going, yeah, you know what?
Yep.
Yep.
Valid point there.
Pretty right. Yeah.
That was not great.
So, there you go. Four down territory.
9:41.
In order.
Time for this day in sports history.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's this day in sports history.
All right, 1965, Frank Robinson pitch hit with an injured thumb to drive in two runs in the bottom of the ninth to give Cincinnati a 5-3 win over Pittsburgh at Forbes Field. 1989, Atlanta Falcons guard Bill Frelich testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee, chaired by now President Joe Biden, on steroid use in the NFL. Frelich estimated that 75% of NFL linemen used them. Also on this day, 2007, Utah Jazz guard Derek Fisher returned from caring for his daughter to play against Golden State in Game 2 of the Western Conference semifinals. Fisher entered the game in the third quarter to a standing ovation and hit a critical three-pointer in overtime to give the Jazz a 127-117 win after the game revealed that his 11-month-old daughter Tatum had been diagnosed with cancer. And that's this day in sports
history. I remember
history.
That.
Yes, I do too. Very dramatic and just you felt terrible for Derek Fisher and his family.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 9:43. And right now we'll go ahead and play Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. It's a really simple one today. I think it's insanely simple. You knew it like boom, like that.
Yeah.
Which you're really good at trivia, but this is not.
This is pretty easy.
Yeah, it's not your area of. It's about the Denver Broncos, your area of.
We usually reference this around this time of year.
Correct. So here's the question, brought to you by Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar, home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam Saplesio Field. Here's the question. Broncos great Hall of Famer John Elway. Which Major League Baseball team drafted him? Which Major League Baseball team drafted John Elway? Because at one point, if he's going to Baltimore, he threatened to just go play baseball for this team. Easy one, Pyle. Teeing it up for you today. Which Major League Baseball team drafted John Elway? First correct answer wins. If you won the last 2 weeks or earlier today, don't play. Text your answer in right now, 970-242-1340. Coming up next in the garage of NASCAR, Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That's on the way on the Team Sports Network.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody.
I want to go fast.
Like an oval, then we're going to drive straight, and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, you ready to go in the air? Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, it's time to go to the garage and NASCAR. Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Now just a better dealership. Pricing information on MontroseFordNissan.com. Joining us from the great state of Iowa, it's NASCAR Fred. And Fred, we had the closest finish. We had the Kentucky Derby with the photo finish. Then we had the closest finish in NASCAR history with Kyle Larson getting the win at Kansas.
I don't think it could get any closer than that. Initially, they said it was .000. But, you know, somebody's got to be ahead there. So they finally finished. Yeah, one 1/1000th of a second. So Chris Buescher gets his name in the record books as losing by the closest margin ever. So that's a dubious distinction, I guess you could say. There have been – actually been 14 races that have been decided by 1/100th of a second or less. And one of those just a little bit earlier this year, if you recall, at Atlanta, Daniel Suarez won by – 3/1000th of a second. So that's exciting stuff.
I mean, when you're watching that race, I mean, just to see how it finished up, I just, you know, it's still mind-blowing how close that was. And just to, I mean, those are the kind of finishes, if you're a NASCAR fan, you just dream of, right?
Yeah. And I mean, he even had a little bit of contact on that last lap coming to the checkers, you know, a little beating and banging. Reminded me of a few years ago at Darlington with Ricky Craven and Kurt Busch. Same kind of deal. I think that was 3/1000, 4/1000 sort of set. No, that was the second closest ever. It was the closest until this one. So, you just can't beat it. And, you know, the NASCAR's kind of been striving for parity, and I suppose you could say that this sort of demonstrates that they're getting that, having so many close finishes.
So Kyle Larson wins it by the hair of his chinny chin chin. Chris Buescher, Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, Alex Bowman, Kyle Busch, Noah Gregson, and finishing 10th.
Michael
McDowell, thank you, was 10th
I have to say I was really rooting for Chris Buescher because one, I like Chris. Two, RFK, you know, it's strong this year. It'd be nice to see them get a win. And three, Rio picked Larson.
Excellent.
So that's all good reasons for me to root for Buescher.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations. By the way, you still suck.
You picked the winner. Why do I suck?
Oh, that's right. I guess I did pick Kyle Larson. I thought you picked Kyle Larson.
I picked Martin Truex Jr. You picked Kyle Larson.
Oh, that's right. Didn't pick Kyle. I apologize.
That's right. I forgot for a minute.
I know I didn't.
Well, I'm catching strays over here. Okay, I'm sorry.
I forgot that I picked Kyle Larson. I'll be honest. I've had so much on my mind today. I forgot that I picked Kyle Larson.
We're so used to you picking the winners, Rio. Sorry about that.
I know, we're so used to you winning. See, that's a testament to you being a big, hairy winning machine.
That's a good cover.
We just immediately assumed that you You pick Kyle Larson.
Just over here catching straight.
Like, geez, man, come on.
Like, what? Like, hold on a second. I didn't pick him.
Anything else from Kansas we want to talk about, Fred, before we move on?
Looking at the top 10, Noah Gregson. He's kind of slowly but steadily getting better. Third top 10 in a row for him. Things are looking somewhat better for Stewart Haas Racing in general. Boy, they just had a dismal year last year. And, you know, so far this year, Josh Berry is showing some promise. You know, you got Chase Briscoe has been running better. And Noah Gregson got it. You know, he's a guy who was really a standout in the Xfinity Series. He won like five or six races, I think, his last year in Xfinity, and just hasn't quite been able to get to that point in the Cup Series. It seems to happen a lot, but he's moving up. He might be one to watch. It wouldn't be a big surprise to see him get a win before the year's out. And just again, Ford hasn't won yet this year. That's I think it's like the second longest streak ever that Ford has gone without winning a race across all three top series. We're 12 races into the regular season. Gibbs and Hendrick between them have won 10 of those 12. So we're kind of, you know, those are the powerhouses right now. But, you know, still a long way to go in the season. We could see that balance of power shift a little bit. I'm looking forward to that.
And right now the points, Kyle Larson is your points leader. Before we talk about Darlington coming up, the NASCAR Race Hub on FS1 looks like it's going to end next month. So the show that they had dedicated to NASCAR on Fox Sports 1, going away.
Yeah, that won't make a whole lot of difference to me because I never really watched it much anyway. But, you know, it will be kind of the end of an era. That's, you know, if you really want to get into dissecting and analyzing the races and seeing what's going on, the big picture, so to speak, that was a good show for that. Let's see, it's been on since 2009, so yeah, 15 years that's been on the air. I'm not sure where you'd go for that kind of info. I guess you kind of have to glean it from NASCAR.com or JSKI or whatever. But yeah, that's, you know, like I said, kind of the end of an era.
One final thing, we mentioned that Michael McDowell finished 10th at Kansas. Some kind of silly season news here. He's going to leave Front Row Motorsports at the end of the season, so he'll be moving on.
That's a little bit of a surprise because things have been going so well for Front Row, for Michael and for Todd Gilliland both. And a little bit of a surprise also in the fact that he's going to be going to Spire Motorsports to drive the 71 car, which will give them a pretty strong lineup with him and Carson Hocevar in the 77. Carson's been showing some flashes of brilliance so far this year. But the thing is, they had Zane Smith signed to a multi-year deal to drive the 71 car, and they just cut him loose. Spire did, so not sure what's going to happen with him yet. But it's going to be interesting to watch. It kind of surprised me a little bit just because things have been going well for him with Front Row. So we'll see what happens.
All right, Goodyear 400 Darlington Raceway this Sunday, 1 o'clock our time, FS1. We've got to jump right into it, running short on time. Let's go ahead. That's a quick review of last week.
Last week, Kyle Larson won.
That's right. I did pick him.
Jim pick.
Big hairy American winning machine.
My Martin Truex finished fourth. Fred's pick, I can't remember who that was, but he finished 20th. I think it was Ty Reddick.
That was Tyler Reddick. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Ty for first place, me and Jim at 18 points. Fred in a distant third with 11, and you get to pick first, then me, and Jim is last.
Oh, gosh. I think we're going to see another Larson-Hamlin showdown, honestly. I'm going to go with Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson. I think William Byron gets in there and snipes them both.
I'm going to take Martin Truex Jr. All right, there we go.
Simple enough.
That's In the Garage of NASCAR, Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Go to their website, montroseFordNissan.com, to get pricing information. Fred, enjoy the racing this weekend.